Hello everyone, this is Sean and welcome to episode 14 of Sean Hammer. Today we'll be going over a bit of some Blood Angels rumors that I've come across. Nice to see that the little BAs are getting their own codex soon, so you don't have to run around with the poor man's codex printed out at work and stapled together at the top. Let's start, go ahead and talk about the week in Warhammer, I guess. For me, it's pretty much nothing. Been playing a lot of Final Fantasy Dissidia. Working, not doing much in the hobby, tooling around with different ideas to switch for a Dark Elf army, and doing a 1250 point list. I want to do a small little tournament, hopefully at the hobby store near my home. Also looking at doing a patrol tournament as well for 40k, probably 500 points on that. I have more about that later. But as for actual game, I haven't done much. And that's about it for the hobby. Today's episode is really just going to focus on the rumors around the Blood Angels new codex and everything. And before we get started, I'd like to thank everyone for listening. We're up past 500 subscribers now. And still, unfortunately, no more iTunes reviews were given or any emails sent to me. So let's go ahead and do my local begging first. If you have any questions, ideas, or comments, you can contact me at seanhammer9@yahoo.com. SEANHAMMER, the number 9, at yahoo.com. Also, you can leave an iTunes review and it'd be highly appreciated. I'm probably going to have a small little contest coming up. I have a used copy of Squad Command for the Nintendo DS. And pretty cool game, I guess. I have the PSP version, better in regards than the DS version, but it's free. And let's see, next one to leave an iTunes review. And today, from the posting of the show, the first one will win the copy of the Nintendo DS Squad Command if you want it. I'm also looking at giving away little grab bags of Orcs and Space Marines, so go ahead, send me some comments in, and we'll get along with today's show. Okay, first, I'd like to go over, this is the incoming Blood Angels. Some of the model aspects of it is the rumor to have box sets, three plastic sets, no troop choices will be part of this. They have one vehicle, and two out of three of that is capable of flight, more or less, basically. For special characters, it looks like that Dante, with his axe, will give him plus one. Well, Dante will be back. Mephistodion will be back. He'll be over 300 points. And he's getting a resculpt, which is good. Same with Dante. Lumardis has gone missing from the Games Workshop online store. He may be a resculpt, but no one knows. Tycho will be three different versions of him in the new codex. Moriar, excuse me as I butcher that, but will be coming back. Not as an HQ choice, but it'll take up one elite slot and one heavy support slot. He probably come up with a, it's rumored that he comes up with two bodyguard dreadnoughts. Not sure. On Honor Guard, possible plastic set. You could probably make an Honor Guard with it too. They have Exalted Honor Guard. It's rumored that these look very elegant. They don't have broadswords, but rapiers. But there are also some heavier weapons like chain axes. According to the color pages that someone saw of these. They have lots of options, special weapons, banners, relics, etc., etc. Talk about Terminators is, maybe using the Terminators from Space Hawks. Nothing's solid on that, but it's possible. For any of you who have not gotten Space Hawk, and you, it is a great game to play for one little one-off shot game that you can play with a buddy. The figures in it are just beautiful. The whole game is a beautiful set. And if you weren't expecting new Tyranid or a Blood Angel army after the release of the Space Hawk, you're living in a small little world. I saw it coming. Nice new plastics. And it's about time they start paying some paint, some homage to the Blood Angels. Furoso's going to be back. Dreadnoughts, maybe 1 of 3, heavy, but nothing solid. Tech Marines are rumored to have a new character. Scouts is a metal box. It's being talked about with a Mad Max feel. Nothing solid on that, though. Tactical squads, rumors of twin-linked heavy weapons if firing inside of Auspex's range. Not so sure about that. No news on attack bikes. No news on bikes. No news on land speeders or devastation squads. For land raider, land speeders, devastation squads. Anyway, land raiders, nothing new about the current ones, but talk of new pattern to be put out. And it said that the land raiders also drop gunship with lots of assault cannons. Looking forward to that. Looks like 40K is taking a jump into using a lot more flying units, such as Lala Tau, the Imperial Guard Valkyries. It's looking pretty. I think it's a neat aspect to put in the game stuff. So, yeah, we'll see how it goes. No new news on the Whirlwind. The Predator may be made into Ball Predator, of course. No news on the Vindicator. New unit rumored out there is Exalted Assault Squad. It could be a name for a veteran assault squad or a name for, you know, they have a mounted storm bolters, relic blades, jet packs, have hit and run special ability, who knows. And we'll see what comes out, a little bit more of that. I am looking forward to this, actually. There's rumors of new flyer being used like a Valkyrie, a large oval base to come into the effect. And that's about it for the models and stuff. Next we'll get on to the rules rumors. Okay, for the rumors of rules, looks like the Furious Charge is applied army-wide. Two attack base, bolter and pistol, you know, close combat weapons. Like I said, these are just rumors right now. We'll check it out. I saw another couple rumors on online that talks about maybe a Librarian Dreadnought. I'm not so sure about the 100% of that. I haven't gotten a new White Dwarf yet, but I will soon and get through that and give you guys a little bit of taste of maybe what might be lurking inside the new White Dwarf. And so far, that's just, like I said, I'm checking out my mail and someone sent me this and says, Sean, you know, check this out, you know, just we got some new Blood Angels coming on the way. And after my little ranting, and my gloating online on people who have contacted me, that Space Wolf box, that was beautiful, know what they've done with that. And finally, a Blood Angel guy, player, gets hold of me and says, Hey, buddy, look at this. You're not the only one, a beautiful new army. So she's like, oh, cool. So hopefully I'll get some pictures. I'll put those up for you or give you a link to them anyway. And that'd be it for the Blood Angels rumor so far. We'll be right back. Here is the next edition of The Art of Warhammer 40K, or The Art of Warhammer 40K, so to speak, and we're going to be going into the shooting phase. I might break this into two segments, not 100% sure, but let's go ahead and let's talk about basically the meat of the subject here. It can be argued that the shooting phase is probably the most important phase in Warhammer 40K. Let's talk about it. People running around with big shooters, bolters, las cannons, tanks flying, you know, trajectories left and right. I mean, shooting phase is the most, I think, substantial phase in the game. It can be made or broken in this phase. Some armies could specialize a little bit more into hand-to-hand combat and could argue with me about that, but for the most part, shooting phase is what 40K is brought down and into. The shooting phase is actually broken into a sequence of six parts. Actually, first one is to pick a target and check line of sight. You choose one of your units, check its line of sight, and choose a target for it. Basically, that's about it. If a model on the unit can see at least one enemy model on the unit, it may open fire. Next, you check range and make sure that you have the appropriate range per weapon that you're shooting at the target unit, taking any modifiers such as moving or, you know, basically such as moving, because rapid fire changes if you move and shoot in range. You roll to hit using the D6 dice, of course, using the model's ballistic skill, and you have to roll a number to equal or beat the target. Now you roll the wound. Basically, after you're done, if you hit the target, you roll again. Check to see if you you're wounded on that roll. You make your saving throws. These are for people fortunate enough to actually have armor that's not beaten by the AP value, which we'll get to that in a bit, to actually take saving throws against shot. Then you remove your casualties. Now, sometimes there's occurrences that disallow you to shoot, and they'll be as if you are locked in a close combat with a foe. units that are running, they can't shoot, and units that have gone to ground because of enemy fire in a previous turn. Certain types of weapons can only be fired if the unit did not move as well, such as heavy weapon teams and such. Like I said, here we go, we got run. This is basically, if you choose not to shoot your unit this round, after movement, you can choose to run. You simply roll a D6, and you just move that distance in the direction that you wish to run. And now that foregoes your line of sight, and it does not allow you to assault, which we'll get to later. Now, a lot of people say they'll watch the game, 40K be played. And I think it's more impressive to watch not knowing anything about Warhammer. You walk into a local hobby store. It's more impressive to see a game of 40K on a nice developed table going on rather than as fantasy. I'm a big fantasy fan. I'm also a big 40K fan. I think I like fantasy more, but visually speaking, 40K, if you got a nice looking table with painted army, looks a little bit better. Because in our heads, we're not living in a fantasy realm. We're living in you know, in today's world where we have skyscrapers, tanks themselves, flyers, and 40K can be pretty much, it resembles modern warfare for the most part. So it appeals to people. And one thing that's nice about this is the scenery that you can use for 40K. I have a few Games Workshop buildings that I put together from the Cities of Death. Beautiful, beautiful models. Or pieces of terrain, so to speak, about a church. And it gives you nice elevations and everything. And this is where line of sight comes in handy, too. More so with fantasy 40K, you have to really get behind the model that wants to shoot at something. And you make sure that that model can see part of the other unit. Be fair about it, you know. See if you got cover or whatever. If you don't have a line of sight, you can't shoot. Next, you check your ranges. You know, last pistol shoot 12, bolt guns shoot 24, auto cannon shoot 48. These are all on inches. And you rolled a hit. Now, you take the fire's ballistic skill, and then there's a score needed to hit. And what it is, it's pretty simple. You take, you take the number 7, and you deduct the ballistic skill from the number 7, and that's the number you need to hit. Also, for people who have not started playing yet, and you're thinking about it, there is also handy charts and everything inside the Warhammer 40K book, as well as the Warhammer. 40K has something unique in it that Warhammer doesn't have, is that a unit can have multiple weapons, and it's best to shoot these weapons at the same time. Now, what I usually do, I love using Army Builder, so I will make an Army Builder roster. Then, for units inside the Army Builder roster that might have, my favorites are missile launchers and plasma guns, because I play a lot of iGuard. So what I'll do is I have these white dice I'll use for shooting my las guns. I always set aside red dice for my missile launchers, blue dice for my plasma gun, and I separate all my different weaponry with different colored dice. It's important to roll these, I think, a lot of people say, oh, I can roll this here, I roll that there. But it comes to the fact where you gotta be, because this is the, you know, meat and potatoes of the game is in the shooting phase. Like I said, if you do fast dice rolling, say, okay, here's my las guns. I'm playing the Imperial Guard. I'm rolling on my las guns rapid fire. This many hit, take your saves. Then, you know, then what models, like say I kill 5 orcs of a 10-man squad. And so I take out 5. Then I say, okay, shoot my heavy bolt turret unit. And say I kill 2 more orcs. And, you know, you take those out. Then you can sit there and you can pick your fire down until you're left with maybe a plasma gun hoping to kill an orc war boss or something like that. So I like to roll everything at the same time. Then what gets saves, what doesn't. It also makes the game a lot quicker. And something else I found out too is I really haven't even come across this problem till lately. I think with a lot of younger listeners, but a lot of younger kids playing the game these days, everyone likes to win. I understand that, but a lot of guys will sit there and roll their dice off in the corner, and they'll do shabby like little rolls and stuff like that, so you can't see them. So I came up with a box of Inquisition. Simple little box, decorated with some Cities of Death pieces on the outside, so made a nice little cube. Painted Inquisition symbol on the inside, primed it. I mean, not primed it, but sealed it. And all rolls are made inside there. If they're not inside there, they fall out by any means, bounce off. Don't make the box or anything. They do not count. Keeps people honest, keeps them on the table, stops people from knocking over stuff and everything. Well, let's say now you hit. I'm sorry, I'm babbling about something. But let's say you hit. Now it's rolled a wound. 40K offers a nice little handy chart to go through that takes the strength of the weapon fired to the toughness of the target and cross-references it, kind of like a multiplication chart. And that's it to see if you wound. Now, if you're wounded, you're going to take saving throws. Let's go through some armor types first. Imperial Guards have flak armor, which save of a 5 plus on a 6-sided dice. Orcs have orc armor that save on a 6 plus, and Space Marines have power armor, which save on a 3 plus. Now what this is, a lot of people know, so I'm just going over this for the new gals. If you're hit and you're wounded, you need, depending on your armor, that's what you need plus to stay alive. Now, unfortunately, there are some weapons that armor pierce, and they will have AP value. So let's go over AP. If the AP of a weapon is equal to or under your armor allows no saves. Which kind of sucks for Igard and Orcs, but you take the good with the bad, I guess. So let's say we have a bolt gun of 5 AP, shooting at an Imperial Guard in flak armor of a save of 5. If that Space Marine hits and wounds, the Imperial Guard is dead. That model is dead. There's nothing you can do about it. But there is invulnerable saves next. Invulnerable saves are things like shield generators, kind of like off the Phantom Menace, that they use Star Wars Phantom Menace, that deflected bolts and everything. And they'll always allow you a save. Depending on almost every weapon out there, there might be a 2% of weapons in 40K that ignore invulnerable saves. But then we have cover saves. Cover saves represent basically if I was in a squad and we're in a ruined building and we're ducking and dodging behind open windows to make sure that we don't get shot. Instead of taking a negative for shooting at the unit inside of cover, the cover itself offers a save, which in, for the most part, is an invulnerable save against certain weapons, except for against certain weapons like flamethrowers or something, gauche weapons, that just gush major loads of fiery death amongst you, and that'll ignore your save. And they'll allow you a invulnerable save depending on what type of structure you were in. Such as if you were in fortifications, you get a 3+ cover save. Not so bad. It's up there with a Space Marine. And these here will even go against weapons that would ignore armor altogether, because basically what it represents is that last cannon shot hitting the side of a brick wall instead of you. So we have fortifications at a 3+ cover save. Other units, friends, pits, wreckers, rocks, ruins, walls, wrecked vehicles, such, give you 4+. High grass gives you 5, and razor wire or mesh wire gives you 6+ cover save. Basically, anyone playing Imperial Guard, Orcs, will learn the value of sticking to the cover. A lot of people play Space Marines, and the bolt gun has AP5, and our armor is a 5 or 6, so you learn to stick to it. Let's see, and we can go into going the next. We'll remove casualties. Excuse my pause there. If you did not make your armor save, or you get no armor save, you remove your casualties. Pretty much, let's say you got a unit of 10 guys. I take 7 wounds. You remove 7 guys. If you happen to have a unit of 5 guys and you take 7 wounds, you have to take a wound on each guy. Then you have to carry them over to the next one. You do that before taking your saving throws anyway. Certain things don't allow. Let's see, we'll have... You know what? We did the shooting, we did the wounding and the cover and armor saves. I'm going to go ahead and call it here for today. And we're going to break up the other half of shooting phase into the different types of weapons and vehicle shooting. I think that'd be a good spot to go through. That'll also allow this to soak in for some of you that didn't actually know this before or are just refreshing themselves from an older edition. And we'll call it there in the next episode of Sean Hammer. It will actually be 15. Maybe we'll go over a little bit of the new White Dwarf. We'll cover the second part of the Art of War, Hammer 40K. Shooting, we'll name it Part 2. And we'll go through that. And like I said, we'll cover about vehicle shooting and such. and the different types of weapons. And maybe I'll have some more news and rumors for you, and maybe a little bit more exciting news about my Week in Warhammer. Till then, thank you everyone for listening. I appreciate your time, and I hope I give you some good entertainment here. I'd like to thank all of you, and I'd like to thank my family for putting up with me through all this and supporting me. Until next time, happy gaming and keep having fun.